Mahabharata, Chapter 6, Part 7. Akrura advises Dhritarashtra. Akrura remained in Hastinapur for several months. Then, when he felt he had understood the situation fully, he decided it was time to return to Mathura. Before leaving, however, he met with Dhritarashtra to offer some advice. Ultimately, the blind king was responsible for his son's acts, and he could certainly check their behavior if he chose. Akrura said, "My dear king, my brother, you have obtained the throne only because your brother Pandu passed away prematurely. Therefore, Pandu's sons have first claim on the throne. You should not discriminate against them in favor of your own sons." Akrura also advised Dhritarashtra to rule the kingdom strictly according to moral principles. He should treat all his subjects equally. What to speak of the Pandavas? They were his own nephews and the lawful heirs to the throne. Overattachment for one's close relatives is simply born of ignorance. Every creature in this world is born alone and also dies alone. One simply experiences the results of his or her own good and evil deeds, and in the end leaves the present body simply to accept another one. The belief that one person is the relation of another is nothing more than illusion. Dhritarashtra listened in silence as Akrura spoke. He understood the implications of his words. Akrura had made it quite clear that the Pandavas' cause was righteous and that by opposing them, Dhritarashtra would reap only grief. As Akrura concluded, Dhritarashtra bowed his head. "By favoring your own sons, O Lord of this earth, you are acting out of ignorance. How then can you hope for any good result? Ignorance always leads to sorrow. Therefore, act virtuously and deal with Pandu's sons as they rightfully deserve." Dhritarashtra sighed. "O wise one, your words are like the immortal nectar of the gods. I could go on hearing them forever. Surely you have spoken the truth. But just as a person on the verge of death cannot be saved by nectar, so your instructions do not stay in my heart." Dhritarashtra admitted that he was prejudiced by affection for his sons. He told Akrura that he felt helpless to overcome that affection. Like Kunti, the king also understood Krishna's position. "Surely, everything moves according to the will of the Supreme Lord. No man can influence the Lord's will. Now Krishna has appeared to relieve the burden of the earth, and most surely that will happen. What then can I do?" destiny is surely all powerful. Dhritarashtra had heard the sages describe how Krishna's mission was to destroy the large number of demoniac kings who had begun to populate the earth. Pandu had managed to check them, but since his retirement, the demons had formed alliances and had built huge armies. They were posing a constant threat to the security of the whole world. Akrura could understand that Dhritarashtra was set upon a course that would lead only to his own ruin. By favoring his own sons over the Pandavas, the king would ultimately ignite a conflict between them. That conflict would result in the destruction of the entire Kuru race. Akrura felt there was nothing more he could do. Dhritarashtra refused to accept responsibility for his actions. Taking his leave from the king, Akrura made his way back to Mathura. Akrura decided to return and report on the strained circumstances in which he found Kunti and her five sons. He had first wanted to give good advice to Dhritarashtra, who was so favorably inclined toward his own sons and unfavorably inclined toward the Pandavas. When King Dhritarashtra was sitting among friends and relatives, Akrura had begun to address him, calling him Vaichitravirya. Vaichitravirya means the son of Vitravirya. Vitravirya was the name of Dhritarashtra's father. But actually, Dhritarashtra was the begotten son not of Vaichitravirya, but of Vyasadeva. Formerly, it was the system that if a man were unable to beget a child, his brother could beget a child in the womb of his wife. That system was known as Devarena Sutotpati. That system is now forbidden in the age of Kali. Akrura called Dhritarashtra Vaichitravirya sarcastically because Dhritarashtra was not actually begotten by his father. He was the son of Vyasadeva. When a child was begotten in the wife by the husband's brother, the child was claimed by the husband, but of course, the child was not begotten by the husband. This sarcastic remark points out that Dhritarashtra was falsely claiming the throne on hereditary grounds. Actually, Pandu had been the rightful king, and in the presence of Pandu's sons, the Pandavas, Dhritarashtra should not have occupied the throne. Akrura said, "My dear son of Vaichitravirya, you have unlawfully usurped the throne of the Pandavas. Anyway, somehow or other, you are now on the throne. Therefore, I beg to advise you, please rule the kingdom on moral and ethical principles. If you do so, and try to please your subjects in that way, your name and fame will be perpetual." Akrura hinted that although Dhritarashtra was ill-treating his nephews, the Pandavas still happened to be his subjects. Akura then said. Even if you treat them not as the owners of the throne, but simply as your subjects, then you should not think impartially of their welfare. As though they were your own sons, that is how you should treat them. But if you do not follow this principle, and if you act in just the opposite way, you will be unpopular among your subjects, and in the next life, you will have to live in a hellish condition. I therefore hope that you will treat your sons and the sons of Pandu equally. Akura hinted that if Dhritarashtra did not treat the Pandavas and his sons as equals, surely there would be a fight between the two camps of cousins. And since the cause of the Pandavas was just, they would come out victorious, and the sons of Dhritarashtra would all be killed. This was a prophecy told by Akura to Dhritarashtra. Akura further advised Dhritarashtra, in this material world, no one can remain an eternal companion to another. Only by chance do we assemble together in a family, society, community of nation. But in the end, because every one of us has to give up the body, we must be separated. One should not, therefore, be unnecessarily affectionate toward family members. Dhritarashtra's affection was also unlawful and did not show much intelligence. In plain words, Akura hinted to Dhritarashtra that his staunch family affection was due to his gross ignorance of fact and blindness to moral principles. Although we appeared combined together in family, society, or nation, each one of us has an individual destiny. Every one of us takes birth according to our individual past work. Therefore, everyone must individually enjoy or suffer the result of his or her own karma. There is no possibility of improving one's destiny simply by cooperative living. Sometimes it so happens that one's father accumulates money by illegal means, and then the son takes away that money, although it is hard earned by the father. It is exactly like just as a small fish in the ocean eats the material body of an old, larger fish. One ultimately cannot accumulate wealth illegally. An illustration of this principle is that many great empires which developed in the past are no longer existing because their wealth was squandered away by later descendants. One who does not know this subtle law of fruitive activities and who thus gives up moral and ethical principles carries with one only the reactions of his or her sinful activities. One's ill-gotten wealth and possessions are taken away by someone else, and one goes to the darkest region of hellish life. One should not, therefore, accumulate more wealth than what is allotted to one by destiny. Otherwise, one will be factually blind to his or her own interest. Instead of fulfilling one's self-interest, he or she will act in just the opposite way for one's own downfall. Akrura continued. My dear brother, Dhritarashtra, I beg to advise you not to be blind to the facts of material existence. Material conditioned life, either in distress or in happiness, is to be accepted as a dream. One should try to bring one's mind and senses under control and live peacefully for spiritual advancement in Krishna consciousness. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said, Krishna Bhakta Nishkam Atayeva Shant Bhukti Mukti Siddhikami Sakali Ashanta. Except for persons in Krishna consciousness, everyone is always disturbed in mind and full of anxiety. Even those trying for liberation or trying to merge into the Brahman effulgence, or even the yogis who try to achieve perfection in mystic power, cannot have peace of mind. On the other hand, pure devotees of Krishna have no demands to make of him. They are simply satisfied with service to Krishna. Actual peace and mental tranquility can be attained only in perfect Krishna consciousness. After hearing all these moral instructions from Akrura, Dhritarashtra had replied, My dear Akrura, you are very charitable in giving me good instructions, but unfortunately I cannot accept them. A person destined to die does not utilize the effects of nectar, even though it may be administered. I can very well understand that your instructions are valuable. Unfortunately, they do not stay in my flickering mind. They are exactly like glittering lightning in the sky, which does not stay fixed in a cloud. I can only understand that no one can stop the onward progress of the Supreme Will. I understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, has appeared in the family of the Yadus only to decrease the burdensome load on this earth. Dhritarashtra hinted to Akrura that he had complete faith in Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But at the same time, Dhritarashtra was very partial to his family members. In the very near future, Krishna would vanquish all the members of his family, and in a helpless condition, Dhritarashtra would finally take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. To show his special favor to a devotee, Krishna usually takes away all the objects of one's material affection, thus forcing the devotee to be materially helpless. With no alternative but to accept the lotus feet of Krishna. This actually happened to Dhritarashtra after the end of the Battle of Kurukshetra. Thus, Dhritarashtra could realize two opposing factors acting before him. He could understand that Krishna was there only to remove all the unnecessary burdens of the earth. His sons were such an unnecessary burden, and so Dhritarashtra expected that his sons would all be killed. At the same time, Dhritarashtra could not rid himself of his unlawful affection for his sons. Understanding these two contradictory factors, Dhritarashtra offered his respectful obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dhritarashtra further replied to Akrura, "The contradictory ways of material existence are very difficult to understand. They can be taken only as the inconceivable execution of the plan of the Supreme, who, by his inconceivable energy, creates this material world and enters into it, and then sets it into motion by means of the three modes of nature. When everything is created, he enters into each and every living entity, and even into the smallest atom. No one can understand the incalculable plans of the Supreme Lord." After hearing this statement, Akrura could clearly understand that Dhritarashtra was not going to change his policy. He was not going to stop discriminating against the Pandavas in favor of his sons. Akrura at once took leave of his friends in Hastinapura and returned to his home in the kingdom of the Yadus. After returning home, Akrura vividly informed Krishna and Balaram of the actual situation in Hastinapura and the intentions of Dhritarashtra. Akrura had been sent to Hastinapura by Krishna to study all of these, and by the grace of the Lord, Akrura was successful. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.